I'd like to invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And while you turn in, I would like to say that it's an honor and privilege to be able to come to you through sermon audio. I want to thank my home church that's made this possible. They have supported it in every way, and the Lord has blessed the church, I believe, for it, not just through myself preaching. But other men that have preached, we've got preachers that have been called out from the church at Clear Branch. And, of course, Brother Brandon is one of those that has, he actually has more messages on here than I do at this time. And he is certainly a blessing and a very good preacher and teacher. He's also a missionary that we have sent out from the church. And we have others maybe that have come through and preached revivals, and we have messages by them as well. But today we are going to continue with our Bible study on biblical wisdom for youth. Now, this is the second lesson, so please listen in order. Go back and listen to the first one. And then, Lord willing, we're going to have several more to follow this second lesson. But we first dealt with how a young man can cleanse his way. It's very important in this day and time. Of course, you can say that in all ages, but it's very important that young men know which direction to go. It's very important that you don't just wander aimlessly throughout life, but rather you have direction, and God certainly provides that direction. So through His Word, a young man is able to cleanse his way. Now today what I want to deal with is strength, the strength of the young man. Proverbs 20, verse 29, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head." Now, don't laugh at that too much. Young man, listen to me. You will get old, Lord willing. You will come to a time where your strength fails you, at least your physical strength, and you will come to a time where you will be gray-headed, or you will be very few in number as far as the hair. And so there's something to be said about both a young man and an old man. I believe this verse teaches cooperation in the church between older generation and the younger generation, that the young man has something to be desired as well as the old man. The old man, that gray hair that you see, that represents wisdom. One that has been saved and has dug into the Word of God. They have sought out God's wisdom like hidden treasure. Listen, young man, you can learn much from their counsel. And it's very important that you understand the difference between biblical counsel and just someone's experience. But there's much to be learned from biblical counsel from older men. I think we've lost something whenever our generation stopped meeting on the front porch and the older teaching the younger. But young man, you're to have respect for the elders. You're to have respect for the ones with gray hair, and as well as the older, to have respect for the younger. I don't believe that's taught near enough, but a young man, he carries with him a strength that is to be recognized and it is to be developed. Now, in our day and time, and again, we're dealing with strength, the strength of a young man. In our day and time, health, exercise, fitness, these things are all the rage. And it's a good thing to keep our body under subjection, lest we become a castaway. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. To keep your body under subjection, or you will become a castaway, or you will, it'll be a hindrance to your outreach. So there's much to be said about a young man that has a strong back. There's much to be said about a young man. It's good for one to be able to throw a calf or to carry a refrigerator. Not to mention, a healthy body tends to live longer. But bodily strength is not the most important strength for you to have. Now, that may shock you, especially in 2018, where every commercial has a supermodel. Every TV show shows half-naked bodies and abs and people see these things and they covet after them, and that becomes many people's goals in life, is to be as healthy as possible, to be as lean as possible, to be as muscular as they possibly can. Now there's much emphasis again on beauty, on six-pack abs, on running 5Ks, and all that's good in its place, but very, very little emphasis is put on spiritual strength. And yet that is God's wisdom for you, young person. I want you to hear me today. God's wisdom for you is that there is a strength to be found within, a spiritual strength. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now listen to this. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. So, well, that's going to come as a shock to many, many people in our day and time. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Bodily exercise, it does profit a little. In the grand scheme of things, it is but just a little, because godliness, it is profitable unto all things. Bodily exercise, it profits in this life. You know, if you get a little overweight, you get on a treadmill, you begin to run, you get where you can run a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, all of a sudden you will notice yourself, you're breathing better, you're sleeping better. All your different readings and tests, you know, medical tests, they come back better. And so we see a little profit there. You know, whenever someone is taking care of themselves, that they tend to live longer. So we see a little profit there. But godliness profits today, tomorrow, next week, next year, and throughout the life to come. Hear me again. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So godliness profits throughout all our life, and throughout the next life as well. There's treasure in heaven because of one that has exercised himself rather unto godliness. Godliness, what is godliness? There's many, many definitions. And so I like to try to compare with the King James Version, and through a King James Version Bible dictionary, godliness is belief in God and reverence for his character and laws. So one that believes in God and they reverence, that they put on a pedestal God's character and his laws. I believe we could all say David was a strong man in the Lord. Not only was he a warrior and a very strong man as far as going to battle, but spiritually he was a giant. And no one says... no one speaks of the Word of God and the need to apply it to our lives, to hide His Word in our heart, that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Just go read all of Psalms 119 and you'll find God's Word and the need to make it precious to us. You'll find it over and over and over again. And so he emphasizes a need to reverence God's law or God's instructions for life. So godliness is taking the word of God and becoming a doer and not just a hearer only. Now, I believe that's where many people are coming up short today. Many young people are coming up short today. Young person, you may know what the Bible says, but are you exercising what the Bible says? Are you applying it to your life? Are you becoming a doer? Or are you just a hearer only? There's so many people that sit on church pews today. They hear the word. They amen the preacher. They would certainly go to bat if someone come in and try to preach something contrary to the word of God. And yet so many people are failing to exercise God's word and godliness in their lives. So to be godly is to conform to the image of Christ. I think about Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph, the coat of many colors, how that his brother sold him into slavery, how that he goes through year after year of hardship as a slave. He's falsely accused. He's thrown into prison. He's forgotten about in prison. And finally, God brings him to a place where he is elevated to a leadership role, second only to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. And then he sees his brothers walking in. He has the power to have them killed, thrown in prison. He could have sold them into slavery. He could have said an eye for an eye. But rather, he looked at those brothers and he said, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good." I tell you, that is the heart of a godly young man. To be able to say, "God knows best, and I'm going to just let God take care of everything because He knows best. And even though you may mean something for evil, God means it and will turn it for good." So godliness is something that we are to add to our lives once we have been saved. It's part of the seven-link chain that Peter speaks of. Turn with me real quick again over to 2 Peter. In chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 5. "Besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." First thing I want you to notice in the passage I just read is the word add. A-D-D, add. Many people think that once they're saved, that's the end. They have accomplished their goal in life. They were lost. They did not want to die and go to hell. They trusted Christ by grace through faith, that not of themselves. It is the gift of God. And so they have trusted Christ, and they feel like, "Now I can live however I want to, go to church when I want to, read my Bible if I want to, pray when the going gets tough. Maybe pray a little bit harder whenever things come my way that I cannot handle or feel like I can't handle." And so they don't add to their faith. Now, that doesn't mean by adding to our faith we make ourselves more saved. Once you're saved, it is you're sealed, secure until the day of redemption. And yet, to add, God says, add these things. And he gives a list of seven, a seven chain links, you might say, one connected to the other. And the first thing I want you to notice, he said, add to your faith. You add this one link upon another upon another. Godliness is that beautiful strength that we are to add along with virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, and charity. Now, it's very important you see this, and as a young person, many times I have young people that come along and they say, Brad, you know, the Bible seems hard to read, and I would like to know, where do you recommend reading? Now, I may say Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I like the book of Judges. For those that are just starting, there's some good reading throughout the Bible in New Testament. Of course, you know, I like to start with the Gospel of John. But I always like to point out 2 Peter and chapter 1. Because for a young Christian, it is the utmost importance to add to your faith. Why is it so important? Well, that's the second thing that I want you to see. The Bible says they make you. Do you hear that? They make you. These seven things that you add to your faith, they make you. And if you do these things, ye shall never fall. There's so many people today that's falling away from the church. There's young people that, though they may get saved, they come in and they have a great zeal for the first month, the first year, and then they begin to experience life and all the troubles that come along with life. They get sporadic in their coming to church. They quit coming to church. They no longer see a need to be faithful anymore, and they don't really add much to their faith. And it comes to a place where they just fall away. Well, the Bible says in the last days there's going to be a falling away. What I just read to you, if you will add these seven things, he said, you will never fall. It doesn't mean you're never going to have a problem or you're never going to sin. It means that you are not going to fall away from the Lord and stay away from him if you will add these things to your faith. Young person, please hear me. So many people are making shipwreck of their lives because they are not exercising their strength that is found in godliness. Proverbs 9 and verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Lord, that's so beautiful. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. People can have weapons of war. Countries can have weapons of war. And then someone with great wisdom can figure out a strategy to go in and overtake them even with their weapons. We see Saul with all of his army, King Saul with all of his army after David. And David with his wisdom and his faithfulness to God and his great strength and godliness, he was able to outsmart him, outcraft him time and time again. Wisdom is better than even weapons of war. And for you to be godly, to exercise yourself to godliness, to exercise yourself to the Word of God, even in your youth, you become so strong. And it's so needful in our day and time. I saw a t-shirt that said, "Strong is the new pretty." Now, while a muscular physique might be attractive, the strength that is found in godliness is jaw-dropping. Especially to that young man out there that's looking for a godly young lady, or that young lady out there that's looking for a godly young man. It's so attractive to see someone that is exercising themselves to godliness. So get on your treadmill. Pump the weights, eat the low carb diet, do those things if that's what you desire to do. But don't forget, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's Matthew 4 and verse 4. Now, we will continue on with the thought of biblical wisdom for our youth in our next lesson. Thank you for listening.